Let me ask you, if you would, then, to gain access to a Bible, turn with me to Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke chapter 8. Let me begin reading in verse 22. Luke 8 and verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he, this is Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples. And Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake," and they launched out. But when they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Jesus and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Verse 25. But Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." Look carefully at the question that Jesus asked the disciples on this boat in verse 25. He asked them, "Where is your faith?" I want you to understand this event is recorded three times among the four accounts of Jesus' life. Matthew records this same event in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Mark records this incident in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and Luke records it here in Luke chapter 8. Now, the problem that's being dealt with here is a very common problem today. It's a faith problem. And I am sure, as I stand here tonight, that as Jesus observes the conduct of many of his own people, Christians, that there are many times that Jesus is prone to ask the same question that he asked those disciples on that boat when he observes us. Many times he must be prone to ask, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" The Christian who is constantly unhappy, just constantly unhappy. They're unsatisfied with themselves. They're unsatisfied with how God cares for them. They're just continually and always, always unhappy. And nothing is right and nobody's right. And it's all messed up and it's never going to be any better. And the question the Lord is asking you, where's your faith? Where's your faith? The Christian who is constantly and forever anxious about something. every day brings on new drama. Every little molehill in the world becomes this great mountain of stress and worry. And oh, it's just going to be awful. And how are we going to do this? And how are we going to get to that? And the whole life, your whole life is just one panic. And the Lord wants to know, where's your faith? Where's your faith? When you go through life and can't see anything good, when you look around at God's world and all you can see is something is wrong, Jesus is asking, where is your faith? Because when we live in the ways that I have just described, what that means is we do not understand the nature of faith. We don't understand the nature of faith. Now, hold this next statement very dear to you. I believe that one of the great lessons in Scripture is found right here in this event, in that boat, and I don't want you to miss it. Jesus and his disciples have boarded a boat, and they are going across the Lake of Galilee. The Lake of Galilee is completely surrounded by very high mountain peaks. And those very steep mountains come down into very narrow valleys. And so what would happen very, very often is that the cold air from on top of those very, very peaked mountains, the cold air from above would come down into those very narrow valleys, and that cold air would meet that warm air, and it would cause that air to funnel, and when that air funneled and would come out of those valleys, it would pop itself out on the Lake of Galilee. And so this storm that they are caught in was a common occurrence on the Lake of Galilee. This was a very common thing. And so the disciples in this storm, they are in a panic. And they run to Jesus and they wake Jesus up and they say to him, "We're going to perish." They thought they were about to die. Now I said, this is one of the great lessons in Scripture, and I don't want you to miss it. And here is the lesson. The same storm that terrified the disciples didn't even wake Jesus up. Have we learned something already? Have we learned something already? The same storm that these disciples literally thought was going to kill them didn't even rouse Jesus from his sleep. Let me tell you what I'm grateful for every day of my life. I am grateful for every blunder the disciples made. Do you know why? because I see myself in their every blunder. And every time they do something stupid, I say, look, there I am again. There I am again. The same storm they feared dying in wasn't even enough to wake Jesus up. So when they woke him up, he says to them, where's your faith? Understand, his question is a rebuke. Do you understand that? When he said, where is your faith? He wasn't seeking information from them. He was rebuking them. He was rebuking them because they were in a panic. Did you hear me? He was rebuking them because they were terrified. He was rebuking them because of their lack of faith. He was rebuking them because of their lack of faith. Two observations and a close. Two observations and a close. Observation number one, Jesus rebuked them because of the state of mind they allowed themselves to get into. He is rebuking them because of the state of mind, the emotional state of mind they allowed themselves to get into on that boat with him. Do you understand what I just said? Now, listen carefully to me. What state of mind were they in on that boat? They were terrified. What state of mind were they in on that boat? They were horrified. Emotionally, they were distraught. Emotionally, they were in a panic. And that is why Jesus is rebuking them. He is rebuking them because they've allowed themselves to get in such a state of mind. Listen, even though Jesus was right there on the boat with them, they allowed themselves to get in a panic. And that's what he didn't understand. Jesus is like, look, I'm right here. Why are you in this state of mind? Hello? I'm right here. Why are you in this frenzy? Can I tell you tonight? Here is something that we need to apply to ourselves. It is wrong for us to get in the state of mind that those disciples were in on that boat. Did you hear me? Listen, if it was wrong for them to get into that state of panic emotionally because of what might happen, if that state of mind was wrong for them, then that state of mind is wrong for you and I. You say, well, no, because you see, Jesus was with them. Now, let's settle this. Is he with you or not? Is he or not? he's rebuking them that they could get themselves in such a state of mind while he is with them. So he asks, where is your faith? Look, is the Lord with us or not? If he is, then why would we climb the wall about something? So, what should be our position about this stuff? Look in Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. What should be, okay, all right, the Lord is rebuking them because they've allowed themselves to get in such an emotional state of mind. They are horrified for their lives, and Jesus is right there with them. And emotionally, we allow the devil, we allow the world, and we allow all this stuff around us to get us all in such a frenzy. We become unhappy, we become stressful, we become a mess. Look, shame on us. Philippians chapter 4. What should our position then be? Beyond this, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Two words to look at, learned, content. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Look at verse 13. Well, let's do 12. I know how to be abased. That is, you know what? I got nothing. I know how to abound. You know what that is? I got everything. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned to be full, hungry, to abound, and to suffer need. Now verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here is the secret to having contentment regardless of what your circumstances are. The secret to having contentment regardless of all this drama and chaos that's going on around you. And the secret Paul had is that Paul believed with all of his heart Jesus was never going to fail him. Jesus is never going to fail me. Whatever happens to me, whatever happens to the people around me, whatever happens to the situation of that's going on near or far away, I am going to be content because my Lord, who's with me, is never going to fail me. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. And if you don't agree with this, that's fine. That's fine. Go home and think about it and go home and pray about it. You say, preacher, are you ever unhappy? Yep. Yep. Do you ever get melancholy? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Yep. Do you ever miss people who've gone? Yep. Yep. When you're born as late as I was born in my parents' life, even when I was a little kid, I always had the thought that all these people around me are so much older than me. As a kid, I knew, man, I'm going to have to go to a lot of funerals in my life. I was a kid, I knew that. That, man, look at this. Now, do I miss these people? Yes. Now, do you know why I miss them? You know why I long for them? Are you listening? I long for them Because I'm selfish. Because I'm selfish. Take my parents. Where are my parents now? They're with the Lord. Where are they? They're in a place that Jesus said, I'm going to paradise. Where are they? They're in a place, Luke 16, that is a place of comfort. They are with the Lord. Me wanting them back here has nothing to do with them. You hear what I said? Got nothing to do with them. If this was about them, then they need to stay where they're at. What's the problem? Problem's me. You understand what I'm saying? Problem is I'm selfish. That's the problem. I'm selfish. Jesus rebuked these men because of the emotional state of mind they allowed themselves to get in. And Jesus is like, man, are you kidding? Do you really think we're all going to die on this lake in this boat? You don't get this? I've left heaven and I've come here and now there's been this big change and we're all going down. No. What you have to decide in your own heart, is the Lord with you or not? And if He is, then we need to start living like it. And we need to start acting like it. Where's your faith? Oh, but no. Where's your faith? But no. Where is your faith? He rebuked them for being in that state of mind. Observation number two, the reason they were in the state of mind they were in implied their lack of faith. And in fact, their lack of faith is not only implied, it's stated. In Matthew's account of this, in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew's account of this is that Jesus said to them, why are you fearful? Why do you have little faith? In Mark's account of this, in Mark chapter 4, in Mark's account, Jesus says, how is it you don't have any, you have no faith? And in Luke's account, he's asking, where's your faith? So here is little faith, here is no faith, and here is, where is your faith? The reason they were in the state of mind they were in was because of their lack of faith. When Jesus asked them, where is your faith? Do you know what he was saying to them? He was saying, you don't trust me, and I'm right here with you. You don't trust me, and I'm right here with you. Now I'm going to tell you something else. You got to run with God for a while to say what I'm about to say. But I believe that God permits storms to come into our lives because He knows that by the way we respond to those storms, we can see where our level of faith is. James 1 and verse 2, James says, count it all joy when you fall into various times of testing. You know why? Because there's only some things and there's only some qualities of strength that can come from a struggle. Struggle is what we grow on. Everybody who's handed, everybody in life who has been handed everything isn't worth a slug nickel. You know why? Because they've not had struggle. God permits storms to come into our lives because by the way we respond to those storms, it's telling us where our level of faith is. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, he says, in this world you will suffer tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Faith refuses to panic, come what may. Did you hear what I said? Faith refuses to panic, come what may. You know why? Because God's behind all this. And if he, listen, I'm not saying God did it. I am saying whoever did it, God can fix it. Faith says that the one who has brought me this far can take me the rest of the way. Faith says sometimes the road's going to be long. Faith says sometimes that road is going to be lonely. Sometimes faith says I cannot see how this is going to work out. But I believe with all my heart it's going to work out. Now, let me close with this. And this will help you. As pitiful as these guys are in this situation, and they are pitiful, as pitiful as they are in this situation, little faith Matthew, no faith Mark, Luke, where is your faith? These guys had just enough faith to do one thing. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. You hear what I just said? Man, that's it. That's it. I'm scared to death. I'm going to die. Well, I'm going to die before you die. Oh, we're all going to die together. What should we do? Maybe let's go get Jesus. So wherever your faith is, and however you're struggling with it, if you just have enough faith to go to Jesus, That'll get you by till the faith can grow some more. So when stuff happens in your life, and stuff's going to happen in your life, you use that stuff and those storms as an opportunity to prove your faith. I learned a long time ago, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's all I need. I said this morning, we spend a lot of our time trying to figure out what God's going to do. God doesn't need your help or mine. Stop worrying about what God's going to do. You worry about what you ought to do. And what you ought to do is got to be based on faith. How is this going to work out? I don't have any idea. But it's actually going to be kind of exciting to see how God does work this out. And that's how you live. Where is your faith? If you just have enough faith, even tonight, right now, to say, you know what? I'm coming to Jesus. That'll get you started. And then you build it and you grow it from there. This evening, if you need to respond to the invitation, we'll give you that opportunity right now as together we stand and as we sing.